As you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, the third chapter, the 20th verse. The word of God for the people of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we might ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and forever. Amen. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. Robert Fulghum is an American author and minister. In one of his books, he tells the story of having encountered a young woman who clearly had been traveling the world during a break from her college classes. Her backpack bore the scars of some heavy-duty traveling. It also bulged with souvenirs that she had picked up along the way. Fulghum had plopped down in a seat beside her as they were waiting together for the plane that they would take, she back to college, he back home and to his church and his assignments. Fulghum said they carried on polite conversation, and then suddenly she began to cry. At first, there were just tears that welled up in her eyes. And then she began to sob. She began to cry profusely. Fulghum said, I assumed it was either a lost love or some reluctance on her part to have to go back to school, not to be able to do any more traveling. Finally, when he felt like the time was right to explore a bit more the nature of her sorrow, she explained to him that she actually had been in the airport for about 2 days. Yes, she had been traveling. She had run out of money. She had run out of food. She was too proud to beg. And so she had been sitting in that one spot for 3 hours. On top of it all, she had lost her ticket home, and everything had reached a point to where she felt like she could not go on anymore. She was a broken person. Fulghum said there was another couple, a couple from Chicago, who overheard the young woman share her tale. And so the three of them surrounded her and began to console her and offered her support. They said, let's get you up and let's get you out of this seat, and let's take you to get something to eat. And one of the men volunteered to go and speak to the authorities in the airline to see what they could do about a replacement ticket. And she agreed. She stood up. Fulghum said, as the young woman stood up, she looked down to gather her belongings, and then suddenly she let out a blood-curdling scream. I found it, she cried out. I found it. I found my ticket. She had been sitting on her plane ticket home for the entire 3 hours. Her ticket to the good future she believed was out there waiting for her, that she had lost, she had reclaimed. And she began to bound up out of that seat, skipping away from that terminal to find the gate where her plane would depart Fulgham said, the rest of us were limp from her drama. But she felt nothing but exhilaration because the ticket that she had lost, the ticket she had been sitting on, she suddenly had found. Fulgham's story makes us wonder how many times we may have missed out ourselves on opportunities because the ticket that was required for us to experience those opportunities happened to be something that we were sitting on. How many opportunities have we frittered away along life's way because we have been oblivious to the power that was at our disposal and were not aware of what we might be able to do to access that power and to seize opportunities? If you've ever had an experience like that, oh, miss that opportunity. I didn't know that I had within my grasp resources to be able to make my dream of a good future come to pass. If that has been your story along life's way, then you can surely appreciate the counsel that Paul gave, the concern that the Apostle Paul registered with believers in Ephesus, people for whom God had this most glorious future, people that God had called to advance the cause of Christ in ways beyond what they ever dreamed possible. You read Paul's letter to the Ephesians and you see a letter where the apostle is encouraging believers in the church to come together as one body. The church in Ephesus made up of two disparate groups, Jews and Gentiles, people who have come to faith in Jesus Christ from a Jewish background, people who have come to faith in Jesus Christ from a Gentile background, and now Paul writes this letter to encourage Jews and Gentiles to come together around their commitment to Jesus Christ to go beyond what anyone had ever dreamed was a possibility, beyond what anyone had ever imagined what might take place. Jews and Gentiles coming together to serve Jesus. And so in this section of the letter, Paul offers a prayer on their behalf. He prays that Jews and Gentiles might come together in Christ so that they might be empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, that they might be filled in such a way that they might know the love of Christ that surpasses all understanding, that God might become so real in their midst that they would be filled with all the fullness of God. It's a very Trinitarian prayer. To be empowered with the Spirit, to know the love of the Son, to be filled with all of the fullness of the Father. Paul knew that it would take every measure of God's being in the life of those people of faith to be formed into the kind of community that God might use to advance the cause of Christ in the world. And as Paul is praying to God, for God to do a work in the lives of his people that only God could make possible. He breaks out, Paul does, in effusive doxology, the same kind of song of praise that we sang just a moment ago in response to our offerings. Now, to him, Paul prays, who is able to do immeasurably more than we might ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and ever. Amen. To him who is able to exceed, to go beyond our expectations, to do in us what we never would have thought possible. This morning, we come to culminate what we have called an All Things Are Possible campaign. And we have participated together in a beyond emphasis, beyond this generation. What we sense God calling us to do is something that will bless generations to come beyond our ability. This is not something that we project can be realized in our own power. It's something that God has to do through us. We've talked about beyond expectations and how to follow God in a direction such as this one in which God is leading our church is something that exceeds anything that we could ever expect to accomplish. And today, to understand that in order for us to make this happen, it is important that we recognize that God is the source of our help. God is the source of our hope. If we open ourselves to God, there is no limit to what God might do in our midst. When I read Paul's doxology and consider this superabundant power that God makes available to his people, it begs a question. Why is it that we don't experience more this power of God that goes beyond what we ever dreamed possible? If God is capable of doing anything and everything, then why is it not the case that God doesn't do more in our midst? And as soon as I ask that question, why doesn't God do more in our midst than we see God do? I know the answer. I know the answer in my life. And my guess is you know the answer in your life. The only reason that we do not see God work more in our midst is because we limit God. We refuse to open our lives to the power that God extends to us. We do not avail ourselves of the resources that God provides in order to accomplish what God has called us to do. We sit on the very ticket that God has granted to make possible the good future that God wants us to know. Anytime there is failure in my life, anytime there is failure in your life, anytime there is failure in the life of the church, brothers and sisters, it's not the fault of God. It's not God's fault. Whenever we fail, it's our fault for not allowing God to do in our midst what God desires to do? Has there ever been a time in your life when you have actually let go, when you have stood up and committed yourself to purposes of God that you felt God leading you to share? One of my favorite preachers is a preacher named Tony Campolo. Many of you have heard Tony Campolo, a retired professor of sociology at Eastern University, now associate pastor of the Mount Carmel Baptist Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's a predominantly African-American church. Campolo is white. And yet God moved him into that fellowship as an expression of the unity that God desires among his people. One of the reasons that I appreciate Campolo so much is that as a guest preacher, Campolo is able to say things that a pastor would never get away with. I've heard him speak on a number of occasions. And there have been so many times when I have heard him speak and have been challenged by his message and have thought to myself how much I would love to be able to say something like what he just said, and yet I know that if I said it, I wouldn't have a job come Monday morning. Who knows? Maybe one day I'll be a guest preacher, be able to say the things that God leads me to share with a congregation and not worry about the consequences. For example, Campolo was invited on one occasion to speak with a group of women who were a part of a missionary society, and it was a big group. It was a group of over 300 women. And as Campolo was getting ready to speak, the women began with a time of prayer, a season of prayer, and they were taking prayer requests. And the head of the organization said to the group, we've just received a request from a missionary who has a great need, and the missionary has requested that we pray about this need, a need that exceeds $4,000. So we're going to pray about that. And she turned to Campolo and she said, we're going to ask our guest preacher, Dr. Campolo, if he would offer our prayer. There was a moment of silence. Campolo stood and he said, no, I will not pray. Can you imagine a preacher being asked to lead a prayer only to have the preacher say, no, I will not pray? And that's exactly what he did. No, I will not pray, he said. But I tell you what I'll do. I am willing to fork over every dime that I have in my possession, and I'm inviting all of you to do the same, and we're going to take up an offering. And if at the end of the offering we don't have the $4,000, then I will pray for God to meet that missionary's needs. Another moment of silence. And the head of the group said, well, Dr. Campolo, you do have a point. We need to be willing as we pray to give sacrificially, don't we? Don't we, ladies? Campolo said, excuse me, I'm not trying to make a point. I'm serious. I am willing to fork over every dime in my possession, and I am inviting you to do the same, at which point he pulled out his wallet and he emptied on the flower table at the front every dollar of cash that was in his possession. And then he said to the group, now I invite you to do the same. And reluctantly, the women began to come forward, reach into their purses, and offer coins and bills, whatever was at their disposal. And as you would expect, when the money was tallied, it far exceeded the $4,000 that was needed to meet the need. When the number was announced, all eyes turned to Campolo for a response. And Campolo said, now I'm going to pray. Well, thank God for what God has done in our midst. But before I pray, I want us all to understand that God made the money possible. All that was necessary was that we be willing to give it. We come here this morning at the culmination of a campaign, one in which these tiles that you placed into the containers represents the prayers that you have been offering to God throughout the month of November for God to work in our midst as only God could. For God to move us beyond what we ever thought might be possible. I've been praying. I've had my tile and I have prayed along with you for God to do something in us and through us that only God can do. And today marks the time when together we are called to stand up and to make a commitment that represents the good future that God has for this church to know. Your commitment, in so very many ways, is a ticket to that future. And how critical it is that instead of sitting on the very power that is at our disposal to claim that future, we stand up and make it available for God to be glorified in the life of this church yet again. Brothers and sisters, as we continue to receive pledges and gifts toward this beyond phase of an all things are possible campaign, through the end of this year, let's not limit God. Let's not limit God by sitting on what God has provided. But instead, let's believe that the God who can do immeasurably more than we might ask or imagine, the God who has done that on so many occasions in the life of this church, let us believe that God might do it again, so that we might discover that which is important for us to be able to look to the future with hope and anticipation, and to know that everything that is necessary, God always provides. Something that will bless us today, something that will be a lesson for which generations to come will be thankful. To Him be glory in this church and in Christ Jesus forever and forever. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful for the many ways in which you show yourselves among us as we come together. We thank you for that which you do in our lives, the blessings that you bestow upon us, blessings that you intend for us not to hoard but to share. We recognize the many needs, O God, that exist all around us. And our heart for this campaign has been simply that we might be able to do what is necessary to leverage our location, to expand our facilities, to do what you have called us to do, to realize our vision of making ministry in the 21st century even more possible. Thank you, O God, for going beyond what we would have ever expected you to do in sending your only begotten Son to be the means to our salvation. Thank you for giving us, Jesus, that indescribable gift. Now may our gifts reflect our love for Christ and our desire for others to know Him and to love Him as well. Throughout all generations, forever and forever. Amen.